Hey there, this is Nathan. Welcome to the Camden Haven Anglican Church podcast. I'm glad you're making the time to listen to this week's teaching. I'll have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
To the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Lex. If I can ask Howard to come on up and might just ask him a couple of questions before he launches in. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So if you don't know Howard and Chi and Caitlin and Joshua and Caleb, they're all down at the kids' church, I think, are our link missionaries and friends, brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the Philippines. And it's so great that we have them here today. How long are you in Australia for, and when do you have to go back?
We arrived late November, and we're heading back early June, so a bit over 6 months.
Okay, that's great. So a little later on, I'm going to ask Howard a few more questions, but we're going to kick into the talk now, and hopefully Lake Cat Eye is there. I think they are. Hello, Lake Cat Eye. We'll also hello, Lake Cat Eye. They're across. They can hear you. They can only see us, though. So that's a bit late. So I think as Howard speaks, can I pray for you as you speak? And I think can I ask you to listen out for a few things, for the words faith, hope, love, proclaimed, received, ring out. So think of those six words. You'll hear them as they come through. Let me pray for him. Father, thank you so much for Howard and his family. Thank you for the privilege of partnership with them. And we pray, Lord God, you'd help us to listen carefully now to your word. And we pray you would speak to every single heart here this morning. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning again, everyone. And good morning in Lake Cat Eye. Hopefully we're coming through. I'd ask you all to raise your hands if you can hear us there, but I can't see you, so that would be pointless. I was joking with Nathan last night that if I was to give you a real Philippines experience and give you a real Philippines sermon, it would go for 1 hour, but I think I'll spare you that. How about I begin in prayer as well? So gracious Father, we just thank you for your word and the wonderful gift that it is. We just ask that you would speak to us now from your word, convicting us and changing us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So the passage that Paul has written today is quite an upbeat passage. The first 10 verses of his first letter to the Thessalonians. And in Acts 16 and 17, which give us a bit of a background, we can read about how Paul had travelled to Thessalonica, and a large number of Jews and God-fearing Greeks had responded to the gospel and turned to Christ. And then immediately after this, trouble began. The other Jews became angry, and such was the threat that the recently converted, the new believers, were so concerned for Paul's safety that they urged him to leave. And so he did, which must have been incredibly hard. All these new believers, all these people who have accepted the gospel message, and Paul's then had to leave. So Michelle and I, prior to becoming full-time missionaries in the Philippines, we used to travel there for 2 months a year and share the Bible back in Michelle's home village. And a young man called Renato was wonderfully saved by Jesus. But then very soon after that, he had to move away because of work, trying to find work. And we came back to Australia for another 10 months and we never really saw him. We haven't seen him since. And so I often remember him in my prayers and I do worry about him and wonder how he's going. But there's no news about him. And so for Paul, he has had to leave Thessalonica, but his worry is happening about an entire new church of new believers. And there's no news. So in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes that when they could stand it no longer, that is having no news, they sent Timothy to go and find out how they were going. And so this letter is written in response to the wonderful news that Timothy had returned back to Paul with. And so you can see Paul's joy is overwhelming. His joy is overwhelming because the Thessalonian church is the real deal. So their response to the gospel was true. They are true Christians. And Paul describes with joy their response to the gospel, and he writes what we could call are the marks of the genuine believer. So in verse 3, Paul describes what has since been called by others the Christian Trinity. So that is work produced by faith, labour prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we might just unpack these three important marks of the true Christian. So the first one, work produced by faith. So it's interesting to be talking about this now, because it was only last December we attended a missionary conference that was just for CMS missionaries last December, early December, and as I talked to the other missionaries, I discovered that the issues of grace and works and people thinking that they need to work to be saved is one of the biggest problems that it seems like almost every missionary is facing around the world, wherever they work. So it's clearly a human problem and not just a cultural problem, although of course it manifests itself differently in different cultures. So in the Philippines, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that you need a combination of works and faith in order to be saved. But of course, we know that we are saved by faith alone. And if you have any confusion about it, I'd encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, which spells it out very clearly. So basically, it's if we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us, we'll respond in action. So our belief that comes first will produce the works. So we're not talking about works that produces belief or works that bring salvation. So a dear friend of our entire family recently passed away in Sydney, and in her final hours, before she passed away, she woke up and she stated, "Lord Jesus, why am I still here? Why haven't you taken me?" She was actually quite annoyed. But on her deathbed, her heart spoke of the reality of her faith. The faith was expressed in her actions through what she said. Or how about the friend who risks a friendship by inviting a friend to church to come to an event or to share the gospel with them? Or the tired parents who persevere and who make sure that they have their family devotions? Or the unnoticed people who clean this building and do all the other jobs that need to be done so that the church can operate smoothly? That's a work produced by faith. So the second mark of a Christian, again in verse 3, is labour prompted by love. So someone comes to Christ and their heart is softened. Michelle and I met a businessman in Sydney some years ago, And he had been a very hard-nosed businessman and very, very successful. And when he became a Christian, his whole outlook changed. So he decided that he was charging his clients too much. So he halved his fees. And the next year he made even more money. And he was actually quite frustrated about it. I think he felt a bit of guilt that he was so wealthy. And he said, Howard, it's like I can't not make money no matter what I do. But you see, his greatest desire now had changed from making money was to love God and to love others. So his outlook had changed. And so he sold his business, and now he uses his money to operate a micro lending company, and he has offices around the developing world, and he gives interest-free loans to impoverished people to help them start a small business, which might be as simple as just buying a couple of pigs, that kind of thing, to help people improve their life, livelihood. And so that businessman demonstrates labour prompted by love. It's putting other people before his own self-interest. And the third Christian trinity, the third one, is endurance inspired by hope. So I think it's clear in the passage today that if Paul had to flee for his life, then we can be quite confident that the early Thessalonian Christians suffered greatly. And in fact, Paul says as much in verse 6. Paul is rejoicing because he has received the news that despite the persecution that came with their conversion, the Thessalonians are persevering and they're enduring. And we know today, of course, that persecution for Christians continues, and in fact, it's growing. It's on the rise. So I met a pastor who survived in the Philippines, who survived an attempted murder by Islamists in the southern Philippines, because they were determined to stop the gospel. And he could actually show me the scars from the bullets on his body. But he continues to endure because he has a hope in something greater than this world and this life. But endurance is not just linked to severe physical persecution. Put your hand up if you've been a Christian for more than 30 years. There's quite a few of you. Keep your hands up. So those of you who didn't put your hand up, take a look at the people who did put their hand up, because you're looking at a miracle. It's a miracle that they have endured, because it's not easy. But God has planted a hope in their hearts. And so they are not just focused on the here and now, but are focused on the future and a better life to come. So that's endurance inspired by hope. When someone puts their faith in Jesus, their whole life is reoriented. We change from me and my achievement to God and Christ's work for me. Our faith in that produces Christian work. So we reorient ourselves from our own selfish desires to instead love others because of a present and future hope. So that's the Christian Trinity, the true mark of any Christian. And in section 2, verses 5 to 10, we see the gospel message, the proclamation of the gospel. So we see in verse 5 that Paul proclaimed the gospel to the Thessalonians. And in verses 5 and 6, Paul reminds us that the gospel came not just with words, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. So Renato, the young man I mentioned before that we haven't seen for over 12 years, the day after he became a Christian, he was talking to us and he told us that the previous night he was walking alone up his long, winding, steep jungle path to his house, which is probably about a 25-minute walk, so it's quite a walk. And as always, he felt fear as he could hear the spirits in the jungle. And he prayed to God, and then his fear just melted away. Because you see, Renato had been set free from his bondage to spirits. And words alone are not going to take away that kind of fear that belongs to hundreds and hundreds of years of culture. But it was because the gospel came to him with the power of the Holy Spirit that it was able to speak so deeply into his cultural beliefs and understandings of how the world works. And so here in Australia, no one becomes a Christian simply through birth in a family or participation in rituals. It begins with the proclamation of the message, whether that is through a friend sharing the message, a pastor or a colleague, or if you're born in a Christian home from your parents. Words are not enough. True conversion, true faith in Jesus is a supernatural work that only God can bring about. And God does this through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the words to life. And Paul is saying in verse 6 that that is how the Thessalonians came to welcome the message. And then the third element in this conversion is that the message came, Paul says, with the conviction, with deep conviction, the conviction of the speaker. So I think we Aussies, we can be pretty cynical at times. I think it's part of our culture. And we can spot a fake from a mile away, I reckon. And if someone comes and speaks to us with deep conviction and you can see that they're speaking from their heart, that's quite different, isn't it? And that can make an impact. And if the message comes with the power of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-fed conviction of the speaker, then miracles can happen. And it must have been a miracle in Thessalonica because it came with immediate persecution and suffering. But they endured. That takes a miracle. So becoming a Christian means that life changes, and some of those changes are hard and can even be painful. Because suddenly we are going Christ's way and everyone else is still going their own way, which used to be our way. So there's this change. And I know when I became a Christian, one of the hardest things I found was deep friendships. They were no longer the same. I had a close group of mates that I still care about quite a lot. But things aren't the same anymore because the things we used to do together aren't the things that I want to do anymore. And that change in friendship, that can be quite sad and difficult. But don't get me wrong, I have gained so much more than I have lost. I can measure what I have lost and I've just described some of it. But what I have gained is precious beyond anything we can measure. It's just that when we become a Christian, the Spirit is taking us one way and our earthly flesh is trying to pull us another way. And it sounds hard, so why bother? Because in verse 6, there is the joy given by the Holy Spirit, far greater than any earthly pleasure. And we know that we are loved by God, and it's worth any effort or difficulty that might come along. And if you have known the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you will know that it's worth any difficulty. So there is this threefold pattern with the gospel, when the gospel message goes out. So firstly, we can see that in verse 5, the gospel came to the Thessalonians. And then secondly, in verse 6, they welcomed the message with joy. And now thirdly, in verse 8, the message rang out from them. So the gospel came, it was received, and now it rings out from them. So maybe we can call that the gospel message trinity. There is this sense of victory in the way that Paul writes here. The very word gospel, we know that that means good news, but it actually means more than just good news. It actually means a great announcement of incredible news. And so when Paul writes about this great announcement of special news that rings out into the entire region and even beyond, you can almost sort of hear the trumpets and the church bells. Not that there would have been church bells, but you can almost sort of picture this ringing out of this incredible, wondrous news that sounds out from Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a major trading city, and the road to Rome, much of which is still there today, actually runs through Thessalonica. So news of what is going on spreads very easily into the wider region. And Paul writes that the transformation was so profound that everyone was talking about how they completely turned away from idols, in verse 9, and changed to follow the living God. So in the Philippines, there are actually many literal idols. There's one called the Black Nazarene, which is paraded annually through the streets of Manila. It's quite famous. And literally millions of people turn out in the streets in the hope that they can get close enough, maybe even touch it with a handkerchief, but at least get close enough that some of the power of the Black Nazarene will rub off on them. And so they might receive some kind of material gain in this life, a better life, a financial benefit, or even healing from sickness. But our idols in the West here tend to be a little bit different to that, don't they? Our idols could be family. It could be our children or our kids' education. Or they could be sports or our favourite sporting team or wealth. Or pretty much anything that we put first before God in our lives is an idol. And we need to turn away from them, just as those did in Thessalonica. So Facebook is really good at allowing people to see the parts of our lives that we want to show them. We show them our happy selfie snaps. But we don't show them anything that we would find embarrassing or negative, do we? But imagine if on Facebook we were not able to hide anything. If all our sinful actions, our words, and even our thoughts were exposed. Well, Paul in verse 10 writes about God's wrath. When all those sinful actions, all the things we wouldn't want to show people, words and yes, even thoughts, will be held to account by God on the day of wrath. And Paul undertook all his missionary journeys to share the gospel, just as he did to the Thessalonians, so that people might hear the astonishing message that Jesus is the rescuer from the coming wrath. Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself so that anyone who trusts in him will not have to face that wrath. And so in verse 10, Christians wait for Christ to return because it will be a great joy, day of joy for those who have nothing to fear. So if Paul were to send Timothy to come and examine your lives like he did to the Thessalonians, what would he report back to Paul about you and about me? Would he mention, do you think Timothy would mention the Christian trinity of work, labour, endurance lived out because of faith, love and hope? Would Timothy mention the gospel trinity, the gospel message trinity of the gospel being proclaimed and received with joy and then ringing out from Camden Haven? So a true Christian has turned away from whatever our idols may be. We have stopped living for those old fake gods and started living for our new living God. And this involves a repentance, of course, that is lived out for the rest of our lives daily as we continue to turn away from temptation and sin. Any true Christian has heard the message through the power of the Holy Spirit and has responded with joy. And because of that response, the way we live rings out the message of the gospel to everyone who knows us and even beyond, as they see the way we live and even as we share the message with them. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will be at work in the message that we proclaim imperfectly as we are. And finally, I might just add that because I'm here as a missionary who is in partnership with all of you, that because of the way you do live, because of the way you support the gospel message, and by extension, CMS, that God Living, we can live in a way that the gospel rings out in the Philippines. So let's pray. A gracious and loving Father, thank you for the incredible miracle that you bring about through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the miracle of conversion, just as we have heard about today and that happened in Thessalonica. And we know because of our own lives. Please help us to respond with our work and labour, enduring, all because of our faith, love and hope. And we do pray, Lord, for those who may not know you yet and for loved ones who do not know you yet. Please help them through the power of your Holy Spirit to also turn to you in repentance, that they might know that joy as well. And we pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen.
Hi again, this is Nathan. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope that we shared something that's helpful to you wherever you're at in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little more about us, we are Camden Haven Anglican Church. We're a church that tries not to be too churchy and more relational. We meet every Sunday. We have 4 services at 2 locations. If you want to connect with us, you can find more about us on our website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or just send an email to info@havenanglican.com. If this teaching has blessed you, we'd love to hear from you wherever you are in the world, and we pray that we've helped you to grow a little more into Jesus today. See you next time.